As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Happiness Road by Alice Hagen Rice, published in 1942. One of the hardest stretches we are called upon to tread in life is the one we travel alone. As long as we march shoulder to shoulder with a comrade, we can often make the grade. But in the deepest experiences that the soul can know, we must, of necessity, go alone. The tragic loss by death of loved ones, the permanent physical separation or spiritual estrangement from friends, the isolation caused by prolonged illness, come to us all, and must be accepted with what faith and courage we can muster. The primordial need for companionship, for understanding, seldom finds its perfect fulfillment. Often the greatest individuals are the loneliest, rising like mountain peaks in solitary grandeur above their fellow citizens. With this hunger for companionship, it is strange that instead of treating our fellow travelers with gentle consideration, we often meet them with hostile glances or cold indifference. Unpleasant as the admission is, we must face the fact that much of our loneliness is self-inflicted. There is no use denying the fact that life without congenial companionship is hard to face. The ideal friendship, the perfect love, are seldom achieved. But when love is not in some way fulfilled in any human life, it is the fault of that life. When we spin about us a cocoon of egotism, we have no right to complain of being lonely. Where the self is the paramount issue, there is no room for friendship. The person who regards their own opinion, taste, and judgment superior to those of others, who demands always to be the center of attention, is willfully building their own prison. Self-centeredness takes two forms, thinking too well of oneself and thinking too negatively. Psychiatrists claim that it is harder to cure the latter than the former. 9 times out of 10, a lonely person suffers from an inferiority complex, being vulnerable to every careless word, sensitive to unintended slights, and full of small prejudices. Instead of accepting with casual indifference the give and take of daily contact, and accrediting people with good motives, they withdraw in themselves and nurse their grievances. Self-pity inevitably follows, and once a person has arrived at the stage of enjoying their woes, and liking to talk about them, they are on their way to becoming a neurotic. Fortunately, there is a way out of the dilemma for those who have the courage to take it. The first step in overcoming loneliness is to cultivate those traits that make for self-reliance. Dependence upon anyone for sympathy or amusement tends to weaken us. As far as possible, we should stand erect and not permit another to bear our weight. The next step is to learn how to enjoy our own minds. Make yourselves nests of pleasant thoughts, advised Ruskin. Books, music, gardening, the pursuit of almost any hobby can become a source of healing pleasure. Once self-reliant, and having learned how to manufacture our own diversions, we invariably realize that, quote, whatever the world we win, we want a lap to pour it in. And indeed, a lap is always waiting. Whatever the value of our gift, someone can use it. And frequently, the invisible and tangible offerings of affection, sympathy, and understanding are the most welcome. A distinction should be made between being alone and being lonely. Solitude, if rightly used, becomes not only a privilege but a necessity. Only a superficial soul fears to fraternize with itself. Our unaccompanied hours may not only be times of refreshment, but opportunities to digest our past experiences and make intelligent plans for the future. The realization that God needs us as much as we need God gives us a new sense of our responsibility. God needs our lips to speak the word of comfort, our ears to hear the cry of distress, our hearts to respond to the pain of the world, our hands and feet to execute plans of helpfulness and love. Once we become co-workers with God in building a brighter kingdom on earth, we will have little time for petty personal concerns and still less time for being lonely. It is only in our quiet moments, when we are free from the static of material life, that we are receptive to the divine messages that are ever winging toward us. The secret of silence was learned long ago by the most practical of all mystics, the Quakers. It was in the silence that they discerned the inner light that proved their guide and consolation. Fortunately, this resource is open to us all, if we have the mind to use it. When the way grows too difficult, and we faint under our burden, it is always possible to rest alone by the wayside, and for a moment at least, feel God's renewing strength flow through us, as it flows through nature. Gradually our muscles relax, our nerves steady, and courage and strength are regained to resume our journey. If we can make these periods of rest and meditation a daily habit, and learn therein to practice the presence of God, we will find them a controlling factor in our lives, bringing wisdom and serenity, and making of our religion something dynamic and practical. Each of us rules over an uncharted kingdom of untold possibilities, which has but one subject, that is you, yourself. In this vast solitude we are never alone, for through it all the wisdom of the world has passed. Here poets have glimpsed dreams of immortal beauty, musicians have first heard divine harmonies, painters have conceived their loftiest compositions. It is not necessary, however, to be a genius to enjoy this seclusion, nor does one have to seek afar to find a cloister. step aside from the thoroughfare of life, and you may discover a retreat as private as a vast forest. Even a detached mood may become a sanctuary to the initiated. The American, who probably knew most about solitude, wrote from his hut on Walden Pond these words: "There can be no black melancholy to those who live in the midst of nature and have their senses stilled. Nothing can compel a simple and broad soul to a vulgar sadness. I have never found a companion so companionable as solitude." How sharply in contrast to this is the life of those who spend their days under constant observation, always subjecting themselves to the criticism or praise of those around them. Such people dart about on the surface of life like water bugs, ever seeking a new affirmation of themselves. But even the most restless person can, with practice, acquire a modicum of peace by spending a few hours alone each day. At first, the world will continue to clamor for attention. The senses will respond to every passing stimulus. Nerves will twitch and attention wander, but gradually the clamor will subside. The mind and spirit will control the body, and things will begin to be seen in their true perspective. One can never see around a problem until it is held at a little distance. Dear as the companionship of friends is, we must learn to dispense with it when it threatens our periods of solitude. It is only when we are alone that we really can savor life, reliving our most worthwhile experiences, appreciating our blessings, and quietly planning our work for the future. A musician once wrote, "There is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in it." We have only to watch the faces of those who have discovered the secret places of the soul to see the inner light that illumines them. It is something detached, yet keenly aware, the look of one waiting a happy rendezvous. Joy is at its keenest when contrasted with sorrow, courage at its height when it follows fear, faith at its noblest when it grows out of doubt. Even the saints realize that the ecstasy of bliss usually grows out of the desolation of despair. The very transience of happiness enhances its worth tenfold. Keats knew this when he spoke of beauty that must die, and joy whose hand is ever at the lips bidding adieu. Through all solitude and loneliness, let us remember that a divine companionship is waiting, that in the castle of our souls there is a little gate, a side entrance where, when we enter, we are in the presence of God. In a moment, in a turning of a thought, we are where God is.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.